to be acquainted with the walking of the Holy Spirit. Say, God, overshadow me with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me know the power of your Spirit. For it is not by power, nor by might, it's by your Spirit. Lord, overshadow. Oh, help me to be sensitive to the nudging of the Holy Spirit. Help me to walk in harmony with the dictate of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the glorified Jesus that now comes to inhabit me. Take your rightful place. It's not by power. It's not by mind, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's not by power.
It's not by mind.
It's not by mind. By my Spirit, says the Lord. It's not by power.
It's not by
mind. It's not by power. By my Spirit, says the Lord. This mountain, this mountain has been removed. This dry land has overflowed with God's goodness. This dry bone shall rise again. Our Father, we thank you for the point you have brought us into in the economy of your walking among the sons of men. We thank you for the time and season that we are in. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us to this day. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Help us to be numbered among those that are alive and remaining.
Amen.
In this day. Let the resurrection power of God in us bring about a quickening and a raising up. Let all that seemeth dead, that needs to be alive, be quickened again and be brought back to life. And let all that seemeth to be alive but needs to die, let them die.
Amen.
That all that shall remain is all of God. That all that shall remain in us shall be all of God. The candlestick, all of gold, shall be revealed. With the two olive trees supplying the oil through the seven golden pipes, bringing forth the light of the glory of God to shine. And you are the one that walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. All of God. All of God. all of God. All of God. All human effort is taken away. All human struggle is come to naught. All of God. Bring us to that place where it will be all of your spirit.
Amen. In the name of
Jesus. Help us to not only come there, but to abide.
Amen.
To remain in that place.
Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen.
For we are a people of transition. We are a people of the end of the two ages. We are the people that are transiting from one age to the other. And we thank you for this peculiar position that you have put us. And we say with one heart, Father, we will not fail you.
Amen. Amen.
We will not disappoint you.
Amen.
We will not delay the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
We will hasten unto the day of the coming of the Lord. We will be quick to obey. We divorce ourselves from all our abilities and knowledge and all our skills that we know. And we come to you in the trust and obedience of little children. And we say, Father, lead us on. Set your throne amongst us. Cause us to behold your glory. Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
You said, in the day of my power, my people shall be with you.
Amen.
We have come to the day of your power. You have created willingness and urgency in our spirit. We are a people that are in travail to bring forth, in pain to be delivered, groaning earnestly because the urgency is upon us, because the travail is upon us. And we thank you, in the midst of this urgency and travail, you also overshadow us. You said to Mary, you said, the Spirit of the Most High God will come upon you. The Lord himself will overshadow you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. We thank you, Lord, because it's already been done. We stay under the brooding of the Holy Spirit. We remain abiding continually under the brooding of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Until the day of our bringing forth. Father, thank you. We thank you for what you are doing in this house. We thank you for the stretched hand of your mighty power to deliver, to save, to free us from all things that can potentially hinder our journey. Thank you for the active working of your spirit. We surrender to you, Father. For thine are we, O God. You made us. You created us. You formed us. You gave birth to us. You redeemed us. Thank you, Jesus. We are thine, O Lord. Your hands has formed us. We surrender to you, O God. Have your way continually and be glorified. Soak ourselves in your blood as we move into your world. We soak this assembly with your blood. Lord, speak to us, for we want to hear you. Speak to us and quicken our steps. Quicken our pace. Put speed in our feet, that those who hitherto have been walking will begin to run.
Amen.
That those who hitherto have been running will begin to soar.
Amen.
That no one will remain the same.
Amen.
No one will remain behind.
Amen.
But everyone receiving strength will begin to move on.
Amen.
A speedy growth.
Amen.
a quick walk. Thank you, Father. We advance in your presence by your grace, and we know you will lead us into further truth. Thank you for making known to us the mystery of your will. Thank you, Father. So we enter into the mystery of your will. We ask that you will give us revelation, that we'll be able to decode the mystery of your will and interpret them to the things that pertain to our days, that will not be people of ignorance, but we shall be people full of light. We thank you, Father. We believe you because we know you have done more than what we can ask or think. Blessed be your name, Almighty God. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We will do certain things in rounding up the ministry of right division. And we will try by God's grace to conclude it in the place wherein each one of us will have opportunity to make a definite commitment to God. More or less like a place of renewal of our dedication. That's the whole essence of this sharing. It is to bring a people to the point where they sit down and reevaluate the journey and ask questions and examine, which way am I going? And by the grace of God, come to the place of total certainty, whereby there is no more ambiguity about your walk with God, where you come to a state of fixity, a place of certainty, a place of total persuasion. You are not tossed to and fro. You are not dancing between two opinions. You are not knowing which way to go. But you come to a place whereby you are fixed. You become a pillar in the house. The things that pertain to the realm of your abiding, your dwelling, will not be vague to you. It will become real. John said, we have handled it. We have touched it. We have seen it with our eyes. And those things are not only for John, it's for every one of us. So he said, we invite you to that fellowship. We invite you to that koinonia that we already have with him. And I want to tell you, brother and sister, the fellowship is going on. And if people are interacting and fellowshipping with the Father. And I believe God is calling each one of us into it. It is very important for us to be very clear about what the Lord is saying, and be able to respond anytime anybody asks you, what is the ground of your faith? You must know it and know it and internalize it. And not just a mental knowing, but a life knowing. It must be reflected in your life. For only therein can we justify the power of the Holy Spirit. If we claim to have the Holy Spirit and there is no change, you need to question whether you really have him. The essence of the Holy Spirit is to change us. To change us to what? To change us to be conformed to his image. And he's doing the work. Praise the name of Jesus. So last week we spoke about what's will happen when you see the vision. We emphasize the fact that you will begin to do what? To run. If you are sitting before or passive, the moment you see the vision, there will be that jumping up. That will be that leaping up. You will no more be content with just sitting around. You will run. And if you are running before you saw the vision, or you have seen the vision, you are running, your pace in running will increase. In fact, you begin to take up the wings of the eagle. You begin to fly. You begin to soar into the heavens. Now, let me quickly say this. And it's just a comment. The Bible says we dwell in the world that is full of wickedness. And that Satan is the god of this world. So I will say to you, marvel not at all at the tribulations and the temptations and the distress that the enemy will bring to you as though something strange is happening. Neither be discouraged by it. Neither be frightened, but not frightened, neither be frightened or be afraid after their own fear, after the fear of the world. He said, fear not their fear, isn't it? But honor the Lord in your heart. That is, even when fear comes, by the enormity of what you see or what you are going through, let your fear draw you to God. Let it drive you to your knee. So marvel not at the shaking, at the things that God is going to reveal. Marvel not at the heat and the challenges. Don't be disturbed by it. Don't be discouraged by it. But strengthen one another. Encourage one another. That's why we are together like this. Are we still together? Praise God. That's why we are. God gathered us to gain strength from one another. The other one is standing because another one is standing. You are not standing only for yourself alone. You are standing because somebody else too must stand. And you are the person to make that person to stand. You don't fall to temptations and all kind of distraction because you know that you must stand for somebody. Because we are bound together. So don't be discouraged. The Lord our God, he will surely come. And he that come will surely come. Praise the name of Jesus. So that is just by the side. No. So we read the book of Habakkuk. We said, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and do what? Make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end, what will it do? It will speak. And not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. And we read the message translation of it, and it said, write the vision, what you see, write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. So that the person reading it can, while running, he can still be reading it. It's not something you are running and then you stop. What is it? No, you keep running. And we define the run, the race, pulling it from Paul's experience. He said, I run in the race. Okay, let's go there. Let's take it from there. I think that should be 1 Corinthians, isn't it? 1 Corinthians. Okay, before we go there, let's go to the Hebrew and see what Paul also said about that verse in Hebrew so that you will know, because we did say that the vision is a person. So we go back to Corinthians, but let's take this one in Hebrew chapter 10, verse 35. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which had what? Great recompense of reward. For we have need of patience, that after we have done the will of God, we might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come will do what? Will come and will not tarry. Picking it from Habakkuk. Mm-hmm. He that will come and will not tarry. So it's a he. So the vision is a he. And with it said, it's our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The God, the very God, the creator of the whole heaven and earth. The only one true God. The one who was existing before anything were made. The Ancient of Days himself. That is the vision. That is the whole essence of our existence. Nothing else. It's not church programs or Christianity or churchianity or whatever. It is God manifested himself in flesh and blood, raised up from the dead, and now seated in the highest of all heaven. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Please call that name. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That is him. That is the vision. That is what God always seek to reveal. That is the revelation that we are talking about. So he said, what about him? It is about you conforming to him. He revealed him that you might be conformed to him. He's the pattern son. He's the example. He's the prototype. When you are in a factory, you make a prototype, an example. Say, this is it, this is the prototype. And every other thing will follow that. If you have established a line of production. Jesus is our prototype. He's the image. He's the form that God is casting all of us into and making us to conform to that form. Chiseling away all the excesses and making sure that a people emerge that in all ramification, they are a full expression of him. That is where the world is going to first see Jesus Christ. That is the first appearing of Jesus to the world. It is through you and me. When he comes to be admired in the midst of us, when he comes to be glorified. The Greek came to Jesus, they said, we want to see Jesus. They came to Philip, they said, we want to see the master. What did he say? He started talking to them about agriculture. He said, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and it die, it abided. But when it falls, it brings forth many. So it's that corn of wheat that fell to the ground. Jesus is that single corn. And it fell to the ground of your heart. It fell to the ground of your life in redemption. And your springing forth, and all of us together, we are the fruit of that corn that fell to the ground. So Jesus did not come to the Greek and say, oh, you want to see me? I understand. Oh, here am I. Did he say that? The Greek were so polite and so wise because they were people of order. You know, they went to the disciple. You know, it's not good for them to just go to the master. They went to the disciple. And what did they ask? They said, we want to see the master. Good question. Good request. And the Bible said, was it Philip that told another person? So Philip told Andrew. And Andrew went to a master. And we'll have expected the master to just come, okay, excuse me. And said, oh, what was the problem? You want to see me? But he didn't go. Why? And he began to talk to them about agriculture. That you have come to see a corn of wheat, a corn of wheat. But you won't see this corn of wheat. You will only see it when it has brought forth many of its own kind. When you take a corn and put it down like this, and you plant it, just take the picture of it and plant it. And after 3 months or 6 months, you go and harvest it. Okay? If you scrape all those ones and put them together with the original one, is that going to be a difference? Those ones to have power in themselves when they are cast down, to do what? To bring forth again. The same life, the same ability, the same power that is in that original seed is in them also. It's in them also. And that is the vision. That is the pursuit of God. That is the commitment of God to mankind. God is not gathering people for church and programs. He's gathering them for conformity, transformation into his full image. And that is why he has given you the Holy Spirit. We sing that song. He's not by power. Because we wonder, how will this thing be? The same question Mary asked. And I know many of us are asking it. When I look, I see anger. When I see, I look this, I see this, I see this. And you'll be wondering, how long will it take? When will I really come to that estate? When will I come to that full estate? That is the show that you are really on the pathway. We'll come to that when we get to the talking about the vision. One of the indices, the beginning point, is that there will be that question in your heart. So, we'll get to that. We want to read the book of Corinthians because we did say that it is about a race, it's a running. It's a running. It's not a static event, it's not a sleeping event. It's a running. And like we said, it's not a dash run. It's a run you run with patience. It's a long distance run. Let me put it, you know, in a language we understand. So let's go there. Is that 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians 9. Okay, yes. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. All run, but only one. Who is that one that will receive the prize? Who is that one amongst us that will receive the prize? Is a one of many membered body. Is a one that is consisting of many membered body. But they are one. Their identity has been so, their personal identity has been so lost that you don't know anyone by any name anymore. You don't know anyone by any personal identity. They are one. But they are many. And that is what God is taking us into. In the Act of Apostle, we're still going to read that place. Just want to emphasize that the one. Before Jesus Christ went, they were all individuals. They were all what? Individuals with ambitions, with their plans and thoughts and projects. And when it seems as if all their hope is lost, one of them said, well, I go fishing. I think I've tried enough. 3 years is enough. I just go. I think we have tried enough. He's just going back to his fishing and other one who have not thought of what to do. Say, okay, no, we go with you. We go with you. Because they have not really sat down and thought. But this man Peter, very skillful. Oh yeah, that man Peter he has planned an alternative. If this one fail, I go back to my business. Apparently he was keeping the net somewhere. He was still keeping the net. And he said, oh, I go fishing. And the other said, okay, Since we have not discovered what we are going to do, we follow you. So at that time, they were all operating individually. One denied him, Peter. The other ran away. And everybody was just on their own. But look at what happened in the Act of Apostles chapter 2. The Bible says what? They were all in one, what? One accord. They are brought together. They became one. They are one. And what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon them. And that is the end of all individuality. That's the end of it. They became one from that on. The Bible said when Peter stood up, he said he stood up and what? All the others too stood up with him. They became one. Oh, I know the church is trying to form unity. Let's gather together. Amen. Those who forget about it. We never work. So, they became one. So that is the one. Many members, but that one. So, the first thing that qualifies to be part of that one is the losing of your own identity. In literal, let me say this, just being beheaded. Because your identity rests in your head. So, and when you don't have any head anymore, you lose your identity. He said, these are people who have been beheaded. What that means is that they don't have power to think their own thought anymore. And every action stems from the thought. Once you can stop it in the place of the thought, you will stop the action. So it means they can't even do anything anymore. They have only one singular head. Each one of them answers to that singular head. It's not my idea, my way, my this. It's all bringing them back to the original plan of God. To get man into that place whereby they will know no other, they will see no other but him alone. So once he got that with the 120, he came upon them and transformed them and changed them. And he, with them, he turned the whole world upside down. He shook the whole world. And I tell you that that is an example of what he's going to do in this last day. Oh, are we all going to gather in one cathedral? No. No, that was at the beginning. This time, it's an invisible upper room. It's a house that is not, you know, built with man's hand. That's where these people are gathered in the spirit. They are gathered to him in the spirit, waiting for the promise. They are not eager to do things. They are not pressured to do things. Let's do something. No. Why? Because they are arrested. More so, they are pregnant. So they are not free to do things they would have wanted to do. So they have been arrested. God has arrested you. Can you say amen? Yes. A believing amen or not, God has arrested you.
Amen.
And the earlier you understand that you are a captive, he said he will lead captivity captive, isn't it? He led us captive in his triumphant procession. What happened is that when a soldier goes into a foreign land and conquer people, they are champ, they are this thing, they come, the king will sit down on the up of the throne, and the person leading them will come. That is what Isaiah saw in Isaiah 6. I saw the Lord, his train filled the temple. The train are the captives, those whom he has gained in the place of war. Jesus Christ himself went to war and brought you and me as captive to him. Now, you know what a captive is. Have you seen a captive before? A captive doesn't have his own freedom. Ezekiel said, I was among the captive. by the river Sheba. Ezekiel chapter 1. Said I was among them. Was he dancing there? He was bound. That's why Paul will keep on saying, a bond servant, a prisoner of Christ. You will find grace and strength to discover that you are a prisoner of Christ. You are bound to Christ. You have nothing of your own anymore. You are bounded to him. You have been captivated, arrested. Oh. And he will not do it in hurry. He will do it. He will take time to do it. But sure enough, he will get you to that point. He will get you to that point. The mill of God may be grinding very gently, but he grinds surely. He will get you to that point. Yes, he grinds slowly, but surely. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So that is what the Lord is doing in this last day. Gathering people that lose their own personal identity. All they want to know is Christ. And I can see such a margin in this place. Such a margin. And all over the place, all over the world, the Spirit is moving. Gathering unto God a peculiar people. A people who have set him alone before him. David said, I've set the Lord always before me. Amen. Amen. Such people are people you don't joke around with. They are dangerous. When I mean they are dangerous, not to you, I mean they are dangerous to the world. But God is still incubating them. That is the call of the hour. Praise the name of Jesus. So we are talking about the one that received the prize is constituted of this body of individuals. These people who have lost their identity. These people who all that matters to them is Christ and Christ alone. These people who have found their identity in him. Oh, covered with a lot of weakness, but they know him. They know him like Paul said, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. They live by the faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God is the anchor that holds them. And it holds them tight. It's like a father holding a child. Hold him tight. That faith can never fail. That faith has arrested you. It's an anchor to your soul. It's like when you catch a fish. You know, you throw something to the, and the fish open his mouth and swallow it and take it. It's finished. It's finished. It can be running and be, it's finished. It's coming out. That is the situation in which you and me have found ourselves. So the struggle should end. He has caught you. There's nothing you can do about it. Nonso, he has caught you. Busola, he has caught you. There's nothing you can do about it. You want to do something about it? You should do it. Amen. So he has caught us individually. And the first thing he will do is to make sure that all personal identity are taken away. And that's a very painful one. That's a very painful one. We should admit that. Very painful. And that is the way it is. The flour, where that is going to, by the time you grind those corn together and the flour comes out, will you be able to identify any grain anymore? It's gone. And that's the flour that makes the bread that is going to be for the pleasure of the Father. It's not one grain that makes the bread. It's many grains. Many grains from different walks of life. In Ethiopia, in Zimbabwe, in the Caribbean, all over the world, God has his grains and he's gathered them to this invisible upper room, brooding upon them, milling them, chasing away all the things that makes them not qualify. And I tell you, not one drop of this shall fail.
Amen.
The Bible said in that he has, how did they put that? Mighty, and that not one of them shall fail in Isaiah. Strong in power, not one of them, not one, not one. Mm-hmm. And you know how he's going to get this work to be done. Oh, you will expect a brute force. No, 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 no. He's going to conquer you with his love. He's going to break you with his love. The love of God is soft yet hard. It's soft and yet hard. When he pour it upon you, you will have no choice but to say, Father, I surrender to you. And I want to say this, there is no more time. The time is gone. The time, there's, what did I say? There's no more time. So there is that urgency. And you see the way God has been dealing us in the last 3 days we've been meeting. In fact, this last week and all that. There's that urgency. There's that pressure. It's like a woman who have come to town, to the place of, there's that pressure. And that is what the heaven is indicating to you and me. So that is the one. One that have become conformed to his image. And he will surely get so wrong that ye may what obtain? What obtain the price? Obtain what? The price. There is a price, brethren. Paul said, I press towards the mark. For what? The price. There is a price. That's a race to be run. That's a victory to be won. Our every hour to be true. That's a price before us. That's a price. And when you are running for a price, you run with all your might. It's not an haphazard race. We are just running and hopefully, there is a prize. And it is required of you that is running this race to know what the prize is. And the prize is what we call the vision. So it's only those who run is one of them will win the prize. And anybody who have priced high this vision will run. That ye may obtain, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate, is controlled in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. So the price is an incorruptible crown. The price is what? An incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one boxing the air. But what did I do? I keep my body under. I run. But the wrong implies that I keep my body under. My body with all the passions, with all the desires, I keep it under. Said those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with what? With the affection thereof. I master my body. I control it. I keep it under. And I bring it what? Into subjection. That's strong words. Lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be what? A castaway. That is it. I put myself under. I bring myself under subjection. And that is the race. And in 2 Timothy 4:7, he finally put, said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race or my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me what? a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me at that day, and not to me only, but to what? All them also that what? Love is appearing. All this we touched last week. Love is appearing. Looking forward to his appearing. Preparing themselves. Making themselves ready. As bride that make themselves ready. That make herself ready. There's another bride that doesn't make herself ready. She'll be prepared. But there's a bride that is making herself ready. Please make yourself ready. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, that is it. Now, what we want to talk about is how we receive this revelation. How this vision become clear and crystallized. How it take hold of a man, and when it take hold of you, nothing else. You might go through a lot of things, contradictions of various kinds, but the anchor holds. There may be some contradictions and some conflicting things that you may go through, and definitely, people like Jacob had a lot of contradiction, even though he had a blessing. The vision is clear before him. People like Joseph had a lot of contradictions. The vision was clear before him. People like Moses had a lot of contradictions. So there will be contradictions. And that's why I make that statement at the beginning. That don't marvel at it. Don't be disturbed by it. Keep your focus on him. I mean, after what they did to Joseph, he could have gotten to the court of Potiphar and just lost everything. I mean, what have I done, oh God? What have I done? What's my crime? And begin to bemoan himself. And begin to pity himself. And if in that state of pity, this seducing woman come, what would she would just, fall? Because already his immune system has been compromised. His sense of judgment has been compromised. He's been feeling hurt. Oh, look at what my brethren did to me. Oh, why did they do this to me? And begin to feel hurt about it. He will have fallen to that seduction. But the moment he landed, it just is as if never exists. As if he doesn't even know the brothers anymore. It's as if they never exist. It's as if that's a forgotten story. No wonder Paul said, I forget all the things that are behind me. I press towards the mark. Is that not what he said? He said, this one thing I do. This one thing I do. Forgetting all the things that are behind. Whether they are good or they are bad. He said, this one thing. Everybody said, this one thing.
This one thing
I do, and this is the thing you must. Do you see anybody running a race and looking around? Say, oh, let me see this. Oh, let me see who's coming. If that person will just, you can't go anywhere. The person must do one thing. That is one thing. So he forgot everything. He forgot the brother who sold him. Forgot the father. Forget the mother. Forget everything. But he did not forget one thing. He did not forget the God of his father. He knows that his God is with him. He knows. So when the woman came, he said, how will I do this against my God? He forgot every other thing. And brother, sister, they are forget all. Forget the hurt. Forget the misrepresentations, misunderstandings. Whether among you or among people you relate to, forget about them. Forget about them. It doesn't work for the prize before you. Doesn't want it. Doesn't want it. Forget it. Walk in truth and love to us all. Praise God. And did he forget it out of, well, it's okay, that's all right, one day it's coming, I'm going to pay them back. No, he forgot it and loved them. Oh, these guys, I'm going to teach them. One day I'm going to become the president of it. I'm going to deal with them. Was that what he said? No, he forgot it and forgave it completely. That is it. This one thing. This one thing. So that is, that will be contradictions. That will be things that is going to stir you up. Just keep your eyes on the goal. Let the prize be so before you that nothing can shift your attention. Praise God. Praise God. So what we want to look at, we have already defined that the goal is the crown. It's the crown of life. Amen. It's the crown of righteousness. It's the crown that God has given to us. And I want to say that the crown is already upon us. Are we still together? All you are doing is to confirm it. So he said, make diligence to make your calling and election word sure. He saw the calling and election is already been there. It's been confirmed. It's not that when you get it that day, you will now say, oh, say, this is the crown. The crown is already there on your head. All you are doing is to confirm it and establish it. And that's why Jesus Christ, he said, he was talking to one of the churches, he said, make sure no one takes what? Your crown. It means that the crown is there. But somebody can take it. Yeah, the crown is there, but somebody can take it. So he said, take care. Don't let somebody else take it away. The crown was there for Esau. But somebody else took it. And I want to dare say that what is striving to take the crown out of you is not something apart from you. It is something that is right inside of you. Jacob and Esau were two apart. But this one, the Esau is right struggling within you. Somebody talked about strange children yesterday. Say, rid me of strange children. Those are the strange children. But when we look and say, oh, maybe that's boy. Every one of us, we have that strange children. But he said, read me of the strange. Those are things that are strange to the purpose, to the plan, to what God has made you to be. He said, read me of them. He said, their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. They speak at vanity. Strange children. So the thing that is contending with you over this crown is not something out there. It's not your brother. It's not your sister. That is not it. It is something inside of you. For the enemy of a man is the man of his own house. So that's why Paul said, I keep my body, because that is what is contending with him. His body is contending with him with that crown. So if he did not conquer and bring his body under, he will miss. That's why he said that when I have preached, I will not also be what? A castaway. What will make him to be cast away is body. His body. So he said, I do what I put it under. He wants to rise up and contend. I said, no, so he said, no, no, sit down. Sit down. You are under my foot. Oh, look at the way that sister spoke to you. Look at the way, why don't you say, no, 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 that's not me. That's coming from a strange spirit. It's a strange child. I cast you out in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, just do this. And say, no. No. I'm running for this race. Nothing will take it away from me. This is what we are saying. When all of us together have caught a glimpse of it, when it has taken hold of us, anywhere you go, throw you to anywhere, you stand bam, no shaking. No what? No shaking. It's when somebody is empty and there is nothing there that any wind shake it. But when you see somebody, and that is what the glory is about. Glory means weight, solid. We're going to go to Ephesians and we'll read it there. When this thing is crystallized and this, you become solid. Nothing shake you. Immovable. So we want to see what are the things that are necessary for you and me that keep us on the track of this vision. Now, it is something you come to not suddenly, but something that is being revealed gradually. Amen. It's something that God revealed to you gradually. And he points his finger to this, you deal with it. He points his finger and all that, and gradually, until you come into the full estate. But just make sure the anchor holds. So, we will look at the, what I will call, the circles of this vision. How this vision is battered. It's a right division. How is it battered? How is it battered? How did you come to it? How are you invited to be? Because, you know, we said last week that it's a secret of the Father. It's not something he gives to every Jew can hurry. It's a secret of the Father. The vision of his Son is not something he gives to everybody. It's not for all comers. It's a secret of the Father. And he only gives it to certain people. And from the scripture, we are going to identify the quality of these people that come to a place whereby the Father can entrust them with the vision of his Son, Jesus Christ. It's not just a bunch of people that are just moving around, not knowing where to do, and God say, okay, let me just help them. No, 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 no. They are already, there's something that singled them out. They are in the midst of a lot of people, a lot of crowd. And everybody was doing what prevailed in that period. But these ones suddenly were singled out because of something in them. And the first thing in that circle is there was a state of dissatisfaction. There are people that are dissatisfied. There are people that are not content with what they may have known, or the status quo, the prevailing circumstance around them is just generating so much question. The first man we are going to pick is Gideon. Gideon is the first man. There are so many of them. We're going to pick Gideon. The prevailing situation there was that the whole Israel were under bondage. Everybody was afraid. And everybody is scheming around to make ends meet. To see how they can evade the Philistines. Is it the Philistines or the Midianites? I know one. The Midianites. Everybody was seeing how they can, you know, evade. But this man has a question in his heart. Can we go there? That's Judges. Judges chapter 4, 7. Okay, 6. We start from verse 11. Let's read it. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash. Now, if you read the earlier verse, it will tell you what happened, you know, and all that. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, the Lord be with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Look at the way he answered him. And God said, and Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befalling us? Where are all his miracles which our father told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Ammonites. Now let's read verse 14 together. One to go. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hands of the Midianite. And have I not sent thee? This question has been in his mind before the angel came. Where is the God of Israel? He wasn't satisfied with the situations around which many are trying to manage and conform to and see how they can survive it. This man was daily asking God questions. Sleepless nights. God, where is this God? We heard about the God of Abraham. And God see those questions, those agitations as his strength. God see those state of dissatisfaction, this state of refusing to accept the status quo, questioning the circumstance around. God see it as the strength required. And that is it, brethren. If God is going to lay his hand upon you and call you, you must always have that sense of dissatisfaction with the status quo. You must always, he said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for what? They shall be satisfied. The man of God says somewhere, he said, God never invites somebody who is filled to the table. If you want to dine with God, you must be hungry. If you want to eat on the table of God, you must be hungry. So God said, go in that thy strength. And that is the beginning of our gathering together like this. There was a dissatisfaction. We were all in a various organized church system and trying to see how we can revive the church and make it work, and everybody was laboring and saying that. But there was a question in the heart of many. God, where are those powers? Now, what even gave rise to it was that, you know, at a point, I don't know whether the statistic is still correct today, it is said that Nigeria have the largest number of Christians in the campus. The largest number. Maybe second to America, but at least one or two. When this guy, is it Bill Britton or Joe, when he used to send his book to Nigeria, he said that the light to all over the world, he said the volume of book is sent to Nigeria is more than what is sent to all other parts of the world. The two of them, Bill Britton and the one. Brethren in the campus, filled with the Holy Spirit, moving with the power of God and doing a lot of miracles. Campus fellowship was a powerhouse in those times. When they see you sneeze, everybody catch cold in the campus. When they come out and say, we want to do Jesus revolution in the campus, everybody will have to know how to divide themselves to a place where they can, or they will take over the whole campus. And you dare not come around and say you want to mess around with them. But alas, as soon as they leave the campus and go out, everything dies down. And so this generates some questions and burden in the heart of a few. What is happening? Look at this brother. When he was in the campus, he was the campus leader and the fellowship with a lot of fire. But what happened? What happened? And we begin to say, oh, something is wrong somewhere. Something must be done. We cannot continue. If the Nigerian Christian continue like this, we will just, there will be nothing. And then the Lord began to speak. First of all, in the prophecy, he said, there is a church within the church. I mean, there is an house within the house and an altar within an altar. And that he's true with the outer one, and that he's calling his people to move to the inner one. Very clear. It was a thus said the Lord, and he pursued the Lord. That was sometimes in 83. And people begin to say, so what do we do? How do we do? What do we do? We should leave this one and go. When we go, what will happen? What will happen to them? What will happen to us? That question generated a lot of, you know, here and there for almost 6 or 7 years. People will meet silently here, little time again, they will go. A lot of things here and there. It was around 89 that the Lord now finally gave us a clear direction. That what he's been saying is that leave that system. If he can be saved, he will have been saved. He said, Babylon cannot be healed. He said, if he could have been healed, he would have been healed. But all the people in the world said he could have been healed. He said, Babylon will not. When that scripture came, it was like a jolt. He said, leave that Babylon system. If it will be healed, it will have been healed. I think that's in Jeremiah 51 or so. So what do we do? So what I want to bring out is that there was a concern, there was an agitation, there was a desire. People were discontented with the status quo. And the Lord gave this clear word. And that is why the call of come out of them. It's not something that just came, somebody who doesn't know what he's doing and overeating and say, I'm tired of it, I'm going out. No. It takes a lot of years of pains and prayers because many of the men at that time are already big juggernauts in the church system. So counting the cost of what they are going to leave behind was a major issue. But thanks be to God, God answered everyone. And the interesting thing is that all that you see working together today, it wasn't that they were all gathered in one place and said, okay, what do we do? Everybody was in their own closets, in their different locations. It wasn't, brother, this is there. It was, no, nobody even know each other. Various cities. But there was that sense of dissatisfaction. And when the Lord eventually called, the Lord said this to me. This is it. And that is how it came to be. So the first thing is that there must be a state of dissatisfaction. There must be a state of discontentment. The Bible talks of the people that came to David to strengthen him. So these are people that are in debt. These are people that are discontented. These are people that are in distress. They were dissatisfied with the reign of Saul. They were not going to put in with that kind of reign. They want something better. The Bible said they came with one heart to make David king according to the word of God. They heard the word of God. This man is supposed to be king. But we have this other one reigning. I said, look, oh boy, I'm tired. I can't stay on there. I'm going there. This man is in the wilderness. He doesn't have anywhere to go. I will stay with him. So many of them abandoned their comfort zones and went to follow a small lad running here and there in caves. About 400 of them. But look at the people he brought back to Hebron. Oh, the most finest people the world has ever known. Look at them. Mighty men of valor. Beautiful men that can keep running. He put them together. They work together as a team. And that is what God is doing. So there must be that state of forced dissatisfaction. And that state will not, that hunger is only God that can satisfy it. It's only God that can satisfy it. So what will that hunger do? It will always drive you to your knee. It will always drive you to pray. When you see all the contradiction around you trying to, you will just go to God and pray. You will not be going around crying or wailing or mourning. You will go and seek God's face. He said, this is the generation of them that seek thy face. These are the people. They are the people that seek his face. What are they seeking him for? They are seeking because they are dissatisfied with their Christian life. They are not content. They want more of God. They want more of Jesus. So they stay on the word. Meditate on the word. They are not waiting for one pastor to tell them what to read or when they're to fast. They know what to do. They know how to close. They know how to go and seclude themselves. 3 days, 4 days, seeking God's face. Why? Because they are taught of the Lord. They are God's own children. They are children of Jesus Christ, and they are taught of the Lord. God teach them to seek his face. So this dissatisfaction will create a passion to seek God and seek him with an uncommon passion. Not for bread and butter, which is good, but to know him. They want to see him. They want him to be revealed in their life. They know that the change they are asking for cannot come by any other means. It has to be God and God alone. Only God can pacify them. Only God can wipe away their tears. Only God can comfort them. So he said he will comfort them that mourn in Zion. These are mourners in Zion. He will comfort them that mourn in Zion. There are mourners in Zion. What are they mourning for? They are mourning for their estate. They are saying, God, when will my change come? How long will I bear with this body? How long will I remain in this state of rising and falling? They are bemoaning. But what did he say? He said they will be comforted. They will be comforted. So you are crying, God, I want this to happen. God, we will comfort you. We comfort you. He said, we comfort them that mourn in Zion. He will give them what? Beautiful ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And they shall be called what? Trees of righteousness. What? The planting of the Lord. And he shall be what? Glorified. What are mourners doing in Zion? Why are people mourning in Zion? What is mourners doing in Zion? Zion, the city of the living God. The Lion of God. The Lion, the most safest place in Israel. Why will mourners be in Zion? What are they mourning for? What is leading them to cry? They are crying because when they look at their state and they look at the picture whom God has shown to them, they cannot bear to cry. So they mourn. But what did the Lord say? He said he will appoint them beautiful ashes. I tell you, brother, there's an appointment that God has made for those who mourn in Zion. It's an appointment. It is. Those are the ones that God have an appointment with. Those are the ones that are holy seekers, diligent inquirers, asking the Lord, how long, when will this change come? There are always few of them in any generation. Always few, not many. That's why you can't compare yourself with others. You can't compare yourself with the church system. You cannot. In the day when Jesus Christ came, we just had Anna and Simeon. And who else? Maybe the shepherds. You know, and God has to call other witnesses from Eastern world, the wise men. They were seeking. They were searching. They were inquiring. They were saying, when will the Redeemer come? When will the Messiah come? We have been in this trouble for long. When will it come? And the Bible said, he came to them. He will come to you.
Amen.
He will come to you. The book of Micah said something. Let's go there. Talking about the false dominion. The book of Micah. Okay, let me just allow you to go and read it. Because Micah, okay, let's go there. Is it Micah now talking about the first dominion? If you see, please just read it. Because we still have four more items we need to cover quickly. The first dominion. Amen. O thou tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. When will it come? When it's comforting them. When it's comforting them, he will bring to them the first dominion. Dominion of what? Dominion over this body. That's the first dominion. They are in this body, but not of this body. They have ruled, they have learned to subdue. That is incorruptibility have set in. All the motions and the passion of sin have been swallowed up. They are not yet immortal, but they have taken on incorruptibility. That is, the motions, the passion, the desire of sin have been completely blotted out. They have been sealed, ready for the immortal glory of God to come in. So they will have the first dominion. Dominion over the Adamic fall. Though they will still be in this sackcloth of this present tabernacle. But death cannot have power over them anymore. John saw them as the two witnesses unto whom the power of the kingdom will be given to. He said, give power to your two witnesses. These are the company of them that seek his face. These are them that are discontent and are continually crying, oh Lord, oh Lord, let my change come. People are content with playing church and just doing all kind of things. I tell you, that is over. Are you hearing me? That is what? It's over. The time has come for us to set our face as a flint to that which is before us. He said, I press towards the mark. I strive towards the mark. Let's quickly go and talk about the four other items. Well, we are even talking about the two at the same time. One, that will be a dissatisfaction. Two, they will be seeking the Lord. That dissatisfaction will create a passion to seek him and to seek him with all their heart. And the Bible says, when you seek him, what you do, you will find him. He will be revealed to you. When you seek him with all your heart, seeking him will become their preoccupation. Seeking him, seeking his word, seeking the government of his Holy Spirit in their life. Seeking him to be revealed in their lives. They don't excuse sin. They don't pamper it. They expose it to judgment and deny it completely. These are them. These are them. And you being here, God has called you to be part of them. So seek him. Create time to be alone with him. Have a personal time. You wake up to seek his face. Make it a regular hour. Don't let prayer become burdensome. Communing with God becomes something you struggle with. You are still far away. You wake them up in the middle of the night. They are awake as the day bright, ready to pray. When they have finished praying, and you say, let us pray again, they are ready to pray. They don't say, oh, we have just prayed 1 hour, now let's go and rest. No, because they are seeking him. They are ready to give up all. You read the parable of the merchant man who is seeking for that pearl? Seeking. Have you been seeking for something very precious? Have you ever lost something in your heart that is very precious? You know you need that thing. You know you need that thing. If without that thing, you know you will not be allowed to write the exam. Maybe so. Maybe it was your ID card or something. You know you need it. Have you ever lost something so precious? How do you seek for it? You first of all seek the usual place. Have you? Then you begin to seek your usual place. And that is it. Let's seek him. This is the generation of them that seek him. This generation. This generation. This generation. This our generation. It is generation that of them that seek him. He said, a seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted for him for a generation. That is the generation. The preoccupation of that generation are those that seek him. And that generation is not a relative of time. They span through all the ages. They are bodies of people that over the ages have learned to seek him with all their hearts. And to them will be given the first dominion. To them will be given the first dominion. The second one is, as you seek him, the thing that it will release, that it will release an inspiration of him. That will always be an inspiration. He will give you inspiration. It's a breath. He breathed upon you. When you are coming with so much of agony. Oh God. But by the time you are leaving, your face is brightened up. He breathed upon you. He comforts you. He inspired you with his word. He gives you what we call inspirations to comfort you, to tell you, look, he that shall come will come. And he comes to you in that place. And he keep coming. When you go again and come back the following morning, he comes. That's why I make it an habit to always be with him every day. Every day, please. Because that's where he comes. Many people are looking for the day he's going to break loose in the hand in this thing. By that time, things will have been done. The people who he needed will have been gone. By the time he's coming out of that sky, he's closed. He's finished. Because he's going to come. By that time, a lot of things will have been missed. So don't wait for that time. He's already coming now. It's not delaying, it's coming. As many count it as delay. It's not delaying, it's coming. It's already coming. All you need to do is to go and wait for him in the closet. He will meet you there. Stay with him in the closet. All the people that God has ever drawn, he draw them from the closet, from the altar. And that's where he sent them forth to use them. So please, brother and sister, let's build an abiding altar. Let's build a formidable altar that cannot, that the fire will never go out. Day and night, seeking his face. And he will come unto you. He will come unto you. He will reveal himself to you. So he will give you an inspiration in the place of seeking him. Give you an inspiration. He will give you a breath. He will encourage you. That inspiration will lead to a revelation. An unveiling. That's the fourth thing. He will lead to a revelation of him. The inspiration will only bring you to appreciate him more. Whether he inspire you by his, usually it's by his word. Usually it's the word. It's the word that gives that inspiration. Some other Holy Spirit feeling can come upon you, but that's not the main thing. You might have some dreams, you might have some revelations of this thing. Those are inspirations. When the revelation comes, it's not going to be, oh, I see this, I see that. It's going to bring a transformation, a change in your life. Many times we run around with the inspirations. We do not wait for the revelations to come. Many times we run around with the inspiration. Oh, God gave me a word. Oh, God gave me a word. Oh, I was praying and this word came. Oh, I was praying and this word came. And we go around trumpeting it here and there. You must learn to incubate the word of God. Some could take a year. Some could take 2 years. Some could take 10 years. Write it down and brood over it. Don't be eager to let people know, because they are God's secrets. He gave it to you because you are seeking. Keep it. Keep it. If the three wise men had kept the vision God gave to them and they did not tell it to Herod, many children's lives would have been spared. Many children's lives would have been spared. But look at the carnage that took place, because three people that received a revelation were careless about it. They gave it to the hand of the wrong person. They went straight and said, oh, we saw a vision and that is why we came. And they told it right to the devil. And they said, oh, yeah, that's true. I believe in that God. Okay, what? And that is what it is. Oh, yeah, yeah. And I lie. You have cast your pearl before the swine.
Yeah.
They will rend it and rend you too. Do you imagine how many lives will have been spared if they had just kept that vision and had followed that star? Because even when they ask him, he doesn't know the way. When they ask the people, they don't know. It was still that same star. So if they had just followed the star would have taken them to this thing. But they decided, oh, we are dignitaries, you know. We are respectable people. So let's go and see the respectable man like us. They just mingled it together. And look at what happened. So whatever God is revealing to you is inspiring to wait upon inspirations. Incubate it and let it become a revelation. When it becomes a revelation, it becomes part of you, it becomes your life. You can't deny it again. You can't deny it. Become part of you. That is when it has taken on flesh. That's when that word has taken on flesh. It takes a long while. It's not instantaneous. It's not something that comes just like that. It takes additional waiting on that word. Patiently, treading and milling the corn until the full loaf comes out. The revelation, I would say, is the meal, the bread itself that you eat. The inspirations are the corn. The raw rice, the raw corn, still in the shell. You have to mill it out. You have to thresh it. You have to take it to the threshing floor and thresh it and beat it out. Gather it together. Take it to the mill. Corn it. Bread it. Take it to the fire. Knead it. Do all these things. It takes a process to get the revelation, the bread, the meat out of it. So be patient. Be patient. That's why this wrong. This way is wrong with patience. God is revealing things to you. Stay and watch over it. Then after the revelation, come the crystallization. It crystallizes. It becomes part of you. It becomes in your system. It is what? Crystallize. You know why something is crystallized? It becomes a solid. It become a form. And the form is going to take is Christ's form in you. Because he said all the scriptures talks about me. So whatever he's telling you is all about himself. So we crystallize it inside of you. And that is it. So you say, what happened when you crystallize it? Another round of dissatisfaction will come. When it has crystallized, then you have gotten that. Then another one will come. Say, God, I still need more. I still need more. I still need more. I'm not. Then another round will start again. You start seeking him again. You start seeking him again. Then he inspire you again. Then he reveal himself to you. That one crystallized. When that one comes, you still. So it keep on going on a spiral, but on an ever increasing level. Until the fullness. So this attitude must never cease of always hungry, of always. Some of this process could take a year. Some of this whole prayer could take a month. Some could even take a day. Some could take 2 years. Some could take 10 years. Some could be running concurrently. A multitude can be running concurrently. But as you patiently watch and wait and look for him, he will surely come. That's why he said, he that shall come, Lord, will come. He come to you in revelations. What is revelation? It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. And then you begin to see that all the controversy and all the things you have gone through, they are all part of him being revealed in your life. That nothing is left out. But, you know, there is always a danger. I will talk about that danger and then we begin to pray. After many have reached the place of crystallization, rather than having another level of hunger, they formalize it. They build a system around it. So you see many people will come, say, oh, I wanted the power of the Lord. Maybe he noticed some deficiency. Like a man of God, you know, he noticed that, why are people just walking without faith? Why is faith level in the church so low? And he was really passionate and he went to seek the Lord. And the Lord visited him and gave him a word and commissioned him to go forth and gave him a ministry that really imparted faith into the heart of people. But alas, what happened? What happened? He built a system around it. He built a church name around it and gave it a name. And what did he have? He had an institution. And what did the institution do eventually? It became the system we talk about. Become the system. So all the churches you see today, they all started with God. Is it Anglican? Is it the only one that I know this is Catholic? that one is a breath from hell. All the other one came out of him. It's the mother of harlot. That one, nobody is his mother. He just came. He came and started giving birth to others. So, that's how all of them, all the churches, all of them, mention them. They all have their beginning in God. They all have their starting point in God. And when God visited them, they crystallized and formalized that visitation and build this thing around it. And that is what became a system. And that's what the Lord warned us with from the beginning. That this body are the body of them that seek him. And they continue to seek him. Seeking him. A body of people that are dissatisfied. A body of people that look more for him. Say, they that look for him, shall he what? Appear to. These are body of them that look for him. And that is why God gathered us together like this. So let's in our life, let's not make a form out of the crystallization of God's truth in our life. Let's go and seek for more. Let's go and seek for more. When one truth is crystallized, go and seek for more. When one is crystallized, go and seek for more. Keep seeking for more. Keep seeking for more. And each of those seeking will translate to him coming. So he that shall come will come. And that is the vision. And as he keep coming, the vision become more clearer. more clearer. It's written upon the table of your heart. You are reading it as you are running. You are running and you are reading it. You are not static. You are not playing religion. You are not playing game of ladder and ladder with God. You are serious with God. You are deep serious with God. When we come to fellowship, you are not looking for somebody to wind you up. And you come and say, somebody is dozing. No, 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 no. It's a fellowship of people who are firebrands. Fire is in their bones. They have encounter with God in their clay. When they come, they want to blast. They want to tear the place open. Don't come and sit down and begin to look. Who is around? Who has come? Who has not come? No. Don't come and begin to wait for somebody to steer the water. You know, let Daniel go and steer the water. Then we all jump into it. And then we all come out. And then maybe one person, you know, it's only one person that water can heal. It's one at a time. So maybe when Daniel has steered it up, then the second Daniel, no, it's not like that. Why did you jump there? I'm running there before you. Saying, you know. But when we all come, we are not looking for that water. Amen. Amen. We all come and there is a song in your heart. There's a tongue you begin to speak for. Because you have sought his face. You have seek him. And the Bible said the hand of the Lord is upon them for good and what? That seek him. Seek him, brethren. How do we get this vision? By seeking him. How do we crystallize it? By seeking him. By being dissatisfied with the status quo. So I'm going to make a call. And I believe all of us are going to respond to it. If you are here, you know you are dissatisfied with your current Christian life. Just like I am. You know you are here, you know, look, there's something more than I have tasted. You're going to take a step of faith and just come forward. Or we don't come, just move to the aisle and just come. I'm expecting everybody to come and everybody to come. Because me too, I'm part of it. And we are going to make a prayer of dedication. This coming is a step of faith. You are not coming to me. I'm not the one that is going to pray. You are coming to tell Jesus, I am just dissatisfied and I want more. So please, as you come, just begin to talk to me. Your coming into the middle is a step of faith because I know he's here. So that the well that have been eaten to covered with the dust and with the earth. Today, the Lord is scooping out all the dirt, all the dust. The air will arise in each one of us and all those that are numbered amongst us, a well of springs of life.
Amen.
As our brother keep on saying, out of the belly of him that believes, the Lord is saying today, that for as much as you have believed my word and come to receive, that well is springing up.
Amen.
That all that have eaten to clog the mouth of the well have been scooped. So spring up, O well, we say this hour. Spring up, O well of life. Let everyone here become a spring of well of life.
Amen.
Let everyone here become a spring of the well of life.
Amen.
That will not only quench our individual thirst, but will be quenching the thirst of many others.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So the Lord is saying, he's digging the well.
Amen.
The Lord is saying, he's bringing out all that have clogged the mouth of your well. And many shall begin to prophesy.
Amen.
Many shall begin to prophesy. Many shall begin to sing in prophecy.
Amen.
Many shall begin to pray in prophecy.
Amen.
Many shall begin to minister prophetically.
Amen.
Prophetic grace and gift is now coming upon us.
Amen.
And the whole house shall be a house of prophet of the Most High God.
Amen.
Name of Jesus. Because the well is springing forth. Oh yes, the well is springing forth. The well of life is springing forth. The well of life is springing forth in each one of us. That is the word of the Lord to everyone of us. Father, we thank you. Father, we appreciate you. Brother Eli, please lift up your voice and just pray.
Of the vision that you have made plain before us. We ask, O Lord, that every void within us will be filled in the name of Jesus. And that no one in this house will lack in the place of prayer. Our prayer life will be filled in the name of Jesus. No one will lack in the place of your word. What indeed shall we hide in our heart that we will not sin against you? But I ask, O Lord, that today as we make a decision, a rededication, a renewal of our vision, we ask that every distraction will be taken away in the name of Jesus. Today we come before you and we lay down every weight and sin that has so easily beset us, every weight and sin that has made us to walk this race. We take them away and we begin to run.
Amen.
For as many of us that are already running, we begin to soar high in the name of Jesus. That, oh God, that this word that we have heard today will not just be a repetition, but this word will be unto us eternal life.
Amen.
As we receive the inspiration, we will wait until we get the revelation.
Amen.
And until these things begin to bring about a change, a transformation within us.
Amen.
That as the word says, that my little children in whom I travail again until Christ, the vision, be formed within you. We take that formation in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We take that formation in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That no one, no man amongst us will walk blind.
Amen.
Our eyes will be open.
Amen.
We will anoint our eyes with eyesight that we will see the vision that you have placed before us. And as we run, we will run, we will read the vision while we are running in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we receive help for every man. That no one will be weak in this house.
Amen.
No one will be slothful in this house.
Amen.
Every man will take their place in your grand scheme of things and begin to run, even as you have enabled us today in the name of Jesus. Father, we receive help for every man. We ask God that you will strengthen the feeble knees.
Amen.
Strengthen the feeble knees.
Amen.
Every man will run this race with patience.
Amen.
We'll run this race with patience.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We commit ourselves before you and we ask God that even as you have revealed the vision to us, that the spirit behind the word, we address every character failure, every moral failure. Every way and manner that we have not lived up to your standard, up to your expectation, up to the standard that is set even by the vision, we ask, O Lord, that you will enable us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That we will receive enablement in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
For you have made us know that the race is not for the swift. It's not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but it's of God that showeth mercy. He said, not by power, not by mind, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Therefore, we receive a fresh infilling of your spirit in the name of Jesus to enable each and every man, to enable us in the name of Jesus, that we might run this race in the name of Jesus, that we might run this race, that we might stand sure-footedness in this race, that no one among us will be weary, no one among us will be dilly-dally. No one among us will be shaking, will be unshakable, unmovable, and always abounding in your work.
Amen.
Oh Lord, but commit ourselves to you. We just come to you because we know that you are only our source of help.
Yes.
That you alone can bring us into the reality of the experience that we have heard of today.
Amen.
We commit ourselves to you.
Amen.
We commit our spirit and soul and our body unto you.
Amen.
That, oh God, that we would actualize the full plan, the full purpose by which you have sent forth this word today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let the weak say I am strong.
Amen.
Let the poor say I am blessed. I am rich. For none in this house shall lack.
Amen.
In the name of
Amen.
Jesus Christ. Father, we just appreciate you. Father, we just thank you. We just thank you for such a new renewal, for indeed it's a new day that you have bring before us.
Yes.
And we leave the things that are behind us and reach forward for the things that are before us.
Yes.
Every man will receive the grace to press towards
yes.
the mark.
Amen.
The mark of the higher calling.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we appreciate you.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you. We receive all your gladness.
Amen.
We thank you, Father. We give you all the praise. We thank you because we know that we will go in the strength of this enablement.
Amen.
We go with the strength of the spirit of prayer and supplication that you have called upon us today. And at the end, your name alone will be glorified. At the end, we will all want to win that prize in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we appreciate you. We thank you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor, even in the name of Jesus Christ.